superchargers, headlights, and more. With over 122 million parts, eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Stay on your A-game with all the parts you need at the prices you want. It's easy to bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Rich Eisen Show.
I want to start there.
Mookie Betts is doing everything.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
We're going to hear about the superstar Mookie Betts.
The Rich Eisen Show.
We just got to bounce back. This isn't the scenario that we wanted.
The Rays are going to win in 7.
Earlier on the show, Pro Football Hall of Famer Chris Carter. Coming up, co-host of Good Morning Football, Kyle Brandt. Kansas City Chiefs tight end Travis Kelce. Plus, actor and comedian Patton Oswalt. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number two of our show is on the air here from Los Angeles, California. Great chat with Chris Carter. Went down a little bit of a Hall of Fame memory lane wormhole. Check it all out on Peacock right here. If you're watching us streaming on Peacock, you can check out our show. If you missed any hour, as soon as it's over, it posts the entire show. And it'll stay up there for a couple of weeks, too. So that's where our archive lives, you know, on a day-to-day as well as a week-to-week basis. As a whole, it's sitting there on our YouTube page. And our Twitter handle, at Rich Eisen Show, has got a great poll question that we'll get to in a second. As always, I always check Twitter during the commercial break to see what's trending, what's not. I saw the name Mel Brooks, and literally my stomach dropped.
Oh, yeah.
And I clicked on it, and it involves politics, and yeah. It does not involve...
He's still with us.
Oh, thank God.
Yeah, he's still with us.
There should be, like, again, as you know, we had the former CEO, right?
Yeah, Costello.
Yeah, we had him on our show.
Yep.
When he was in charge of Twitter. Like, I think we spent like a good 48 hours trying to make sure, or is it Costello or Costello? I mean, it was
right,
whatever.
Yeah.
But we had him on him. I told him at the time, because he's a fellow Michigan man, hey, you guys need to come up with a font that you can type in sarcastic comments in so people understand how to read it. And he said, that sounds great. I'll run it up the chain and we'll call it the Eisen font.
Eisen font.
Still don't have it. We need to have Twitter have a font for celebrities that they're alive. They're trending and
right.
It shows you that they're alive, that they're not dead, you know?
Like a heartbeat, like just an emoji that goes
something.
With it. Something.
I don't know. We've got to have
something.
It.
Because every time I see Betty White's name, I'm like, oh,
yeah.
No.
Right.
And you have that. Like, that's a, I chose Mel Brooks. You choose Betty White, huh?
Well, she just, after that just popped into my head.
She
as someone
is popped.
Who, like,
she is trending from time to time. You're like, oh, no.
Come on, no. Yeah, and you get a little afraid.
Okay.
Yeah.
Huh. So that would be the one. That would be the one choice of that you would say of an old.
Oh
an
no
older...
no not definitely okay. Just one. It was she just came to mind.
Well, the other day Angela Lansbury was trending.
Yeah,
and it was her 95th birthday. And you're like, whoa,
wow! And you really need to watch the back half of The Manchurian Candidate.
I do.
That
I
movie
do.
Is not meant for you to watch half
and then two
and then leave the leave it there thinking it's got, you know, like a shelf life of milk. You
60
know?
Minutes will be coming up following football. Followed by murder,
comma,
she wrote.
There you go. You could say the word comma in the pause that Summerall always gave you in saying murder, she wrote. All right, murder, she wrote.
Rich, can you give us that city in New York?
Manhattan. Again, go to our YouTube page. It's out there. It's out there. So I'd like to take a moment here, if you don't mind, Chris.
It's your show, Rich.
I appreciate you saying
that. Yeah, no problem.
I appreciate that.
Got your name on the mug.
I appreciate that. Thank you, everybody. I'm noticing a particular trend that I don't like. I'd like to
drive a stake through its heart right now, if I may. Okay. I understand it's kind of difficult to do that with this particular line of attack because the team that's on the business end of this line of attack deserves it. Deserves it. Line of attack is this. I saw that Bill Cowher made mention at the end of the NFL Today on CBS on Sunday that Trevor Lawrence needs to think twice if the Jets wind up having the first overall selection. Think twice about coming out of college from Clemson. That maybe he needs to stay there in the warm South Carolina, the warm Dabo embrace, as opposed to exposing him to a franchise that I declared just a couple weeks ago, a franchise that has broken Sam Darnold, broken him. He has been broken. So be careful. Now I'm seeing Roddy White. Saw that on Twitter today. Roddy White. Yes, the
Roddy White.
Yes, of all people. Roddy White. Roddy White warning Trevor Lawrence of the same thing. And I'm sure there's other public figures. You seeing it right now, Chris?
I'm seeing it right
now.
Go
ahead, read it. Go ahead, read it.
Roddy White told Big Lead, if I'm Trevor Lawrence, if the Jets finish with no wins, I just go back to Clemson. I don't want any part of that organization.
Stellar years as a receiver with the Atlanta Falcons. If I'm not mistaken, he was on the field up 28-3 that one day.
He had a great career. He had a great career.
And he's been, you know, I think as a matter of fact, his Twitter, is his Twitter handle still Roddy White TV?
Roddy White TV.
Okay, because again, he's got that ability to talk, and he's an engaging fellow.
Played the game.
Who needs to hush up on this particular subject matter. But I understand. I understand. Should he pull an Eli Manning, I'm hearing, although everybody forgets Eli pulled an Eli Manning to get to the New York City market.
Right. He didn't want to play in San Diego.
Okay? To get to New York City. And I understand. You might sit here and think, okay, just like a New Yorker, you're the best place on the planet. City that never sleeps. King of the Hill. A number one.
Keep going.
Ah, that's all right. That's all right. No, stop. But it is the top market if you want to sell yourself. You want to brand yourself. You want to market yourself. There is no better place than New York City. And it's beginning to, this whole line of attack is beginning to make me rethink what maybe the Jets are thinking right now, which is holding on to their head coach. Don't know why. Don't know why. Maybe it's the approach of, you know, a baby you're trying to potty train and you make the baby sit in their own stink. A dog. Make them sit in their own stink to try and figure something out. I don't, by the way, at all condone this sort of parenting skills whatsoever. But I'm wondering if this is not the plan of attack the Jets should be taking. That if they continue on with this coach week after week, debilitating, debasing loss after debilitating, debasing loss, that they're giving the impression to this young man down there and Clemson, they don't know what the hell they're doing. And they've given that indication to every other sentient human on the planet anyway. Maybe they need to bounce Adam Gase just for this fact alone. We see it. We know it. We get it. And anybody out there that might be thinking about staying in college to avoid it, you don't need to do that because we're going to address it. And if you, Trevor Lawrence, come out of college, it's the only way the Jets can get a whole host of top-notch coaching candidates falling all over themselves with their agents to get to Woody Johnson. Or Chris, if Woody's still out there in the UK. and can't make the trunk call appropriate to be on top of this situation. Maybe that's what they should do. Because I thought, what better way to keep losing games is to keep Adam Gase there, dialing up nothing, inspiring no one, getting into an arguments that aren't really for public consumption, but make it public consumption because the defensive coordinator is already smelling the stink and doesn't want his fingerprints on it because he needs another job somewhere. Because they're all out. Somebody's coming in, bringing their playbook, hooking it up with Trevor Lawrence. Unless the Jets win too many games. It's the conundrum. Do you fire your coach or not? How has this man not been Lane Kiffin after that loss in Indianapolis? How has he not been Lane Kiffin after that loss in Miami? Coming up, Jets taking on the Bills. How ugly is that going to be? As Buffalo just took it on the chin against the Titans and the Chiefs, needing to prove that their quarterback is not regressing. This team is not regressing. This team is not undisciplined on defense like to say the New York Jets are. They're going to come in to Buffalo and they are going to get pounded.
I mean, there are no wins on this schedule.
If he's not Lane Kiffin there, can he be Lane Kiffin in Kansas City? Although, actually, pardon me, the Jets welcome the Bills there into town. Will he be Lane Kiffin in Kansas City? How ugly is that going to be? Do you think Bill on Monday Night Football wants to lay it on the Jets? What do you think? Okay, so at any rate, I just want to nip it in the bud. New York is a special place to be. New York, if you want to make the most of what you want off the field, is the place to be. And I say this with the utmost of respect. I really do, because I like these people. Just look at Justin Tuck. Look at Victor Cruz, who's still salsaing off of one preseason pass against the Jets that he returned, and then a couple of championship runs with the Giants. Honestly, if Justin Tuck did what he did and Stray wasn't bringing him on all those commercials with Glaze, that's all I'm saying. When you play in the New York market and you succeed in the New York market, you get exposure that nobody else in the NFL gets. Nobody. Jets have never really had somebody who has that sort of glitz, glamour, and attention that's required of them. Trevor Lawrence would.
Victor Cruz got a $43 million contract.
Please. Oh, please, amazing. Please, please. But I'm also, like, honestly, he's a sweetheart of a guy. But if Victor Cruz played on the Vikings, do you think people would see him salsing right now?
Nope.
No, New York makes it different. So all this stuff, you better think twice. Yeah, think twice, Trevor. Come on. Coaches will be falling all over themselves to come coach you. And the only way that the Jets will have that situation for them is if Trevor Lawrence comes. They need to make this happen. So to my friend Bill Cowher and Roddy White, hush. You're not helping. I know it's not your job to help, but for me. Because if I'm not mistaken, Gary Vee doesn't have the net worth yet, right? You're my Gary Vee whisperer over there. Not yet.
Yeah, I don't like to look in someone's pockets.
Uh-huh.
But, you know.
But not
it's
yet.
It's coming.
Maybe someday.
It's coming.
844-204-RICH, number to dial. I feel better.
Yeah, you look better.
Thank
yeah.
you. Am I sitting higher up in the chair?
Well, higher. Yep. Your face is a little more color to it.
Here's the deal, man. If you are the one who turned the Jets around, the world is yours.
Well, saying he got is Harbaugh TJ, to be the Michigan
TJ,
coach.
TJ, yeah. you were a different part of this operation and when we were born. And when we were born 6 years ago is when Harbaugh was clearly on the outs in San Francisco. Mm-hmm. And I was pounding the table for Jim Harbaugh to come to Michigan. And how many people told me to stop? How many people told me to stop? From what? From I think if did Hutch, Steve Hutchinson, future Hall of Famer Steve Hutchinson, even come on and say, you know, good idea, but that's just not going to happen.
Desmond,
not going to happen.
I think maybe Seawood, like a lot of those guys.
Even Steve Bornstein, who was in charge of NFL Network at the time, hey, Richie boy, you're embarrassing yourself. You just got to stop. What are you doing? Can happen. You know what? And that's why you guys always say stop with the natural. No.
Well, no, that's completely different.
It's not at all. It ain't over till it's over.
No, Matt himself has
you
said.
You gotta move on.
Look, more than once.
I love you, but you gotta move on.
Archie Manning, in our group chat, I said the other day, give your nephew Archie the arch roll. Like, start him young.
The arch roll is pretty good.
No, he's not gonna turn his uncle down.
Arch roll.
Please.
Make it stop. Like he doesn't even hear us.
Let's get to the poll question, Chris. What's our poll question today?
Pop culture today.
Yes, sir.
Up at Rich Eisen Show right now. Please call if you almost spilled my tea. If you have a different suggestion, but it's the 37th anniversary of the release of All the Right Moves. When I was back working on Moves.
Yes.
Tom Cruise. So we're going to go best 80s Tom Cruise movie.
I like it.
Best 80s Tom Cruise movie. Unfortunately, All the Right Moves doesn't make the cut, but here are the four. Risky Business, Top Gun, Cocktail, Rain Man.
Okay.
No thumb on the scale yet.
What's the best Tom Cruise 80s movie?
Best 80s Tom Cruise movie.
Well, I mean, honestly, Chris, if you want to talk about best movie, there's only one that's won for best picture on the screen. So
it's a different
definition of what we consider best. And, you know, you and I can go back and forth between how have you not seen Jurassic Park and how have you not seen the end of the Manchurian Candidate that's been sitting on your DVR for 2.5 weeks unwatched.
Just saying.
Okay, but
bad things to do.
Risky Business is a fantastic film. Top Gun, as we all know, might be his most famous pop culture achievement.
Still waiting on the sequel, which has been
pushed
back.
Yeah. It has been. And Cocktail
is just...
Speaking of Elizabeth Shue. Okay. Speaking of Elizabeth Shue, I showed The Karate Kid to my children for the first time over the weekend. My kids saw Karate Kid for the first
time. Amazing. Okay.
Now, again, it's so...
All three or just the boys?
All of them.
Okay.
It's so troublesome. It really is.
The movie itself?
No. These are just two points I have here. It's so troublesome because when I show them, like, we want to do it, we want to watch it, whatever. Because this is, again, 2020, and we're going to stream it, obviously.
Right.
I'm not just saying this because we're here on Peacock. We're going to stream it.
Yep.
And the streamers always give you the option of hitting the preview button. They insist on seeing the preview. They must see the preview before there's a collective decision, which is difficult enough when there's a 12-year-old, a 9-year-old, and a 7-year-old. To come together as a collective to agree to watch something is so painful. It's so painful.
Yeah.
Just remember how long it took you to choose a video to rent in Blockbuster sometimes. You'd be walking around 45 minutes. You haven't chosen one.
I remember those days with my siblings.
Exactly. You remember times 10. Is this getting these three to decide on something? So when you hit the preview button, and then when they see it, and they look at you and they say it's an old movie, and you're like, oh my God.
It's an old movie.
And I think to myself, okay, so it came out in 1984.
Yep.
It's 2020. How did I look at a movie that was 36 years old?
Wizard of Oz.
When I was 12.
That was like for me.
Well, I mean, Wizard of Oz.
For me.
I mean, when I was 12, for me, is 1981. So it would be similar to like my parents saying, hey, let's watch this movie from the 50s. Because they could see it's not an HD. I mean, all of it.
Right. Well, stop showing them the preview.
They insist on
it. Yeah, they want to watch it. I get
you're
that.
In charge.
I
They're
understand.
Used to that now.
We have finally, it took a couple of weeks of, we finally got them to do this.
All right.
And part of what was helping is that, the girl from Adventures in Babysitting is
Win.
Okay.
Adventures in Babysitting. Great movie.
All right.
Guy from Dancing
Which we
with
had
the
to
stars.
Stop halfway through because it was a little too scary for him, too.
That's the Thor part.
Okay.
Yeah.
At any rate.
Yeah.
So
Cobra Kai, you know?
Yeah, well, they haven't watched that yet, but we'll get to that eventually.
Right.
And the other part of it, too, is like, hey, if you like it, there's a 2 and a 3 and a remake. So you're like, we're this is the way of the world, you know?
Yeah.
At least in my household. But anyway,
like
where we try to give them a choice on what to watch.
So did they make it through the whole thing?
Yes, they did.
Oh,
they did. Yeah. And here's the thing about it, and I don't think I'm spoiling anything. It's a 36-year-old movie.
Yeah,
we've all seen
it. Yeah, okay. Now.
I don't recall a movie that goes from big finish to credits faster.
Yeah, it's immediate.
I mean, you know, Daniel-san
kicks
Billy Zabka's ass.
yep.
Music swells. Mom and girlfriend come out.
Hug.
Shot of Mr. Miyagi nodding. Credits. Over. And I turn to Suze. I'm like, do you remember that? Well, no, I don't remember that. Like, I can't recall another movie where it builds. It's 2 hours, and it builds.
We're
to
waxing,
this moment,
we're waxing.
There's not even like, you know, a scene later on where he's now the man in school and, you know, none of it.
Well, part two begins with the spoiler alert.
No. I know that there's a part two. I'm just talking about at the time as they make this film, they're not thinking this is going to be such a major hit.
No.
That there's going to be a 2 and a 3 and, you know, I can't recall another movie where it's just like, there's nothing else. Over. Roll credits. And then it kind of hit me, too, that the Pizza Terra song, Gloria Love, was Karate Kid 2. It was not Karate Kid 1.
Yeah, it's part 2.
So there's that.
And it's got to be tougher for you, too, because there's 2 boys and a girl. So somewhat their sensibilities probably aren't even on.
Although my girl is a dynamite human. Who's got 2 older brothers. So the first one that started practicing the crane kick and hitting people with their feet was my daughter.
Really?
I would have guessed over. That. She was like walking through the kitchen.
I would have guessed that.
That's amazing.
So she'll be in the
She's
part
walking
3.
Through the kitchen like, right?
She'll be part 3.
Part 3.
That's right. What she was doing. Right. And my sons were kind of like, you know, oh, okay, we get it. Like, you can do it. Ha ha! She's walking like seriously down the hallway like this. So,
that's incredible.
Yeah, I love it.
Yeah. Taylor. Don't forget, she's Susie Schuster's daughter.
Fact.
844-204-RICH, number to dial. Kyle Brandt when we come back. And then Travis Kelce, Patton Oswalt. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial here on this edition of the Rich Eisen Show. Don't go anywhere. Hey, folks, now there's more ways to be a team with Microsoft Teams. You can bring everyone together in one space with a new virtual room, collaborate live, drawing, sharing, building ideas with everyone on the same page. And you can make sure more of your team is seen and heard with up to 49 people on screen at once. Learn more all about the newest Teams features at Microsoft.com/Teams. Is how we roll every single day after Dan Patrick, prior to Brother from Another. And then all wrapped up in the Florio Flauta. Have we landed on that? Because I called it the Florio Burrito.
Right, and then someone suggested it where it's more of a flauta.
A flauta.
Which are delicious.
Never had one.
They're good. They're really good.
Okay.
Actually. It's like a fajita, but it's kind of, you know, thin.
Oh, maybe I have
and
had
you
one.
You've probably had it. You can get steak or chicken.
Are they fried?
Yeah.
Oh, baby.
Yeah. They're good.
Very good.
You guys are making me hungry now.
Is that right?
Yeah, stop.
Mexican food is good any time of day.
Well, I mean, that's why it's called a breakfast burrito, right?
Right.
I understand. This is the type of content you tune in.
Yes.
NBC Sports on Peacock 4, everybody.
Flauta. Which I now know what it means.
Hey, everybody. Now there's more ways to be a team with Microsoft Teams. Bring everyone together in a new virtual room, collaborate live, building ideas on the same page, and you get to see more of your team on screen at once. Learn more at Microsoft.com/Teams. We're now back here on our radio television simulcast. Pleased to be joined by a delightful segment. Same time, same day, every single week now. Kind enough to agree to do this throughout the football season. Wednesday is when the latest episode of his popular podcast on The Ringer and Spotify drops. The host of 10 Questions with Kyle Brandt and co-host of Good Morning Football every 7 a.m. Eastern on NFL Network every single day. Back here on The Rich Eisen Show. How are you, Kyle?
Rich, I come for the sports talk, but I stay for the commercial chatter between you guys. It's the only show I do where I Google things as I'm listening so I can keep up with the references. I was just Googling flauta, which is a Mexican dish consisting of a tortilla rolled around a filling of meat and then fried. It sounds delicious, and I love the commercial chatter always.
Well, the reason why we have conjured that up, Kyle, is because, again, you know, every single day we're on NBC Sports on Peacock right in the middle. And there's a it's a five-show day that starts and ends with Pro Football Talk. So we decided to call it, I call it a Florio burrito, and then somebody kicked it up a notch, to use the phrase.
The Florio Flauta, hashtag Florio Flauta, hashtag Choco Taco. You guys could sit around and talk about gas prices and it's the standings in the NFL. You always come up with a fun topic.
Well, it's funny you mentioned that because Flautas are big at 7-Eleven where you can also get a Choco Taco.
Interesting.
Oh, the best, most authentic Mexican cuisine there is.
Look at you connecting dots. Look at you connecting dots.
Rich, I've been with you a long time.
Well, we also we also just talked about how, Kyle, I showed my kids, 12, 9, and 7, Karate Kid, for the first time over the weekend. And one thing I just forgot about this film is I don't recall ever seeing a movie build up to a big moment, pay it off, and go to credits literally within 20 seconds. Like it's one of those TV shows where they're counting you down to commercial break. You got to go. And I forgot about that. It builds, it crescendos, and then they roll credits. It's over.
It seems to be, Rich, in the space of about 6 seconds, Miyagi is working on Daniel's leg, and then you blink your eyes, the crane kick has landed, Johnny Lawrence has completed a wild character arc and is weeping, saying, "You're all right, LaRusso," handing them the trophy, Liz Shu runs on, is in love with him, and roll credits. It's nuts, and it's so nuts, I don't think it's a coincidence, Rich, that in Karate Kid 2, it picks up immediately in the parking lot of the All-Valley Karate Tournament, as if to say, this is what we wanted to do.
Did they run out of budget? Is that what it was? Did they run out of budget? They spent.
It went
too
off to Joe Esposito. He wasn't cheap back then, and he was the best around. So maybe they just ran out of film, and they're like, we wanted a little epilogue with Miyagi back taking care of his swimming pool and painting fences. We got to go. We're out of money. We'll see in the sequel.
I almost did say to my kids, and I just held off on it because it was just too much, when it was the you're the best montage, that to explain to my children what an exposition montage is. And how this is going to be in every single movie that they watch for the rest of their life, just to keep things moving along.
They don't get that. I don't. We were all reared on montages. I'm not sure that they get the same thing. I am fascinated by the dynamic, Rich. My son and my daughter are not old enough to watch The Karate Kid yet. Were there strange teaching moments? Like it's always been a little weird that Mr. Miyagi like badly beats up some high school kids, which is a little bit strange. I bet that's a strange teachable. He could have just defused the fight. He beats up kids who are maybe 16 years old, which is he probably would be arrested for.
Well, I mean, if I did begin to go down that road, I would also have to explain why an older gentleman was standing on the other side of a chain link fence ready to pounce on children. It adds a stalking element I don't know if I want to get into. You know, it's kind of weird. The whole thing, it kind of falls apart if you start picking at it. Kyle, you know,
I mean, just has Daniel's son like
is what I want to see walking down your street at Halloween, socially distanced. I would love to see the Eisen children dressed in skeleton costumes and their father dressed as a shower.
That's not a bad one.
Yeah, I was going to ask if they were freaked out by the skeleton costumes.
No, it's all good. But the teachable moments were don't give up, don't throw. You can't throw your bicycle in the trash.
Nope.
You know, you can't give up. That sometimes when you're being tasked to do something, it's for a greater cause and also a greater effort. You know, the whole paint the fence and wax on, wax off, all of that. I tried. I don't know if it stuck. I don't know, but we'll find out. I just figured I'd bring up the fact that, again, I don't recall another movie that goes and builds to the moment and rolls credits quite like that.
It is incredible. It ends very fast. It's like a November rain or something. All of a sudden, it changes dramatically, and it's over.
See, I knew you'd come up with another one. I knew you'd at least have another one. Kyle Brandt here on the Rich Eisen Show. Let's talk a little football before we return to your pod and the pop culture poll question of the day. So the storyline now in the NFL is NFC wide open, right? AFC, AFC, it's now Pittsburgh or Tennessee that could give the Chiefs their biggest run for the money. Am I wrong, or what do you think? Who am I missing?
Well,
here?
I think it's interesting, and I think it's appropriate that you left one team out of that. If you look in the AFC standings, there's about four, maybe even five or six potential juggernauts. The one you did not say was Baltimore, and I wouldn't have said it either, because they have a Kansas City problem.
Yes, that's right.
It's not a coincidence.
Right.
They have a Mahomes issue and a Kansas City issue. But I am looking at these teams, Rich. I like the way Indianapolis plays late in the season. I'm really, really, really intrigued by the Miami Dolphins right now.
No,
and I mean, I think it is the biggest thing that has happened over the last 48 hours with Tua and what we're going to see from him and what we're going to see from Brian Flores, because they blew on the dice and rolled that thing, and I respect the hell out of it.
So do I. I mean, I've been all in on that subject since it broke before we went on the air on this show yesterday. It broke probably right after you signed off on Good Morning Football. Mm-hmm. Chris Carter was on earlier today, talked about how special he is. I don't know why anybody would take the other side of it right now. Unless you're in the Fitzpatrick family, I totally understand what he has done and what he could have done with this team. But this sounds like a great move. At some point, you have to do it. And clearly they've seen something special that we haven't seen in practice, Kyle.
They've seen that, and they could make the move now, or you can wait until Fitzpatrick loses two of the next three and then make the move. And he will do that. Here's the thing. Everybody loves Fitzpatrick. He's Harvard Santa Claus. We all love him. We love Fitzmagic. We love all the kids and all the antics on the field. We have a lot of tape on him. It's 15 years now, and we know that Fitzmagic ride goes up and it goes down. I mean, I got receipts. You could look at the Bills, the Jets, even as recently as 2018 with the Bucks. He wins and everybody says, Fitzmagic, Fitzmagic. And then they lose one of the next, they win one of the next five and it's Fitztragic. I think the Dolphins are saying, Ryan, thank you. Thank you for your service. You've won some games and now let's go. And listen, people are also forgetting the magic of Tua Tagovailoa. I firmly believe if he was not hurt at Alabama, he would be on the Cincinnati Bengals right now. I think they would have taken him number one. He was that good, that magic. I think they've seen something in practice that they're like, you think we're putting him in too early? We shouldn't have even waited this long. Get him in there. It's a great move. It might blow up. Maybe he doesn't have it, but I would be shocked. I think he's very special.
Either way, the ride's amazing. I mean, I'll just quickly go down it one more time. You know, first up against Goff, first pick overall, second game against Kyler Murray. Then he's got a game against Drew Lock, Sam Darnold. Next one after that is against Joe Burrow. I mean, Cincinnati-Miami is not really going to be, you know, you would think worthy of a large audience. Now it certainly will be. And then the big crescendo the last 4 weeks, Mahomes, Cameron Newton. We know that game against Derek Carr in Vegas is going to be important potentially for both teams. And then at Buffalo and Josh Allen, the first of two times we're going to see them every single year. You know, it's going to be glorious. It's going to be must see every last second of it, I think. Really.
And I think Flores will be, too. The Dolphins, for 25 years, have been prisoners of short-term thinking and conservative approaches. He said, no way. I don't care. We're doing it now. That's how you do it. Empire moves, as Walter White would say.
Empire moves. That's, I guess you're G-damn right, you know? I mean, to use another phrase by him right there, you know?
That's right.
The Dolphins are now the one who knocks. Kyle Brandt here. On the Rich Eisen Show. So what do the Cowboys do, man? I mean, Chris Brockman later on is going to be in our news segment. We're going to play the soundbite from Mike McCarthy talking about what Jane Slater, our colleague, reported from two unnamed Cowboys yesterday. It sounds completely ineffectual. All of it does. I don't know what can be done. I place this in your lap, sir.
It's not an easy thing to have on your lap. I don't have the schadenfreude about the Dallas Cowboys that many people do. Like I don't feel that way. I don't relish that. And there's no easy answer. Mike McCarthy looks miserable. And I mean his body language, his demeanor, his coaching, and the sideline and the press conference. I don't know. Maybe he went to the Jones boys and sold them that he had a Super Bowl ring because he got Aaron Rodgers and then took a year off and read Analytics for Dummies, and they said, we got to hire you. It doesn't look like a good fit, and this is before Dak Prescott got hurt. The only thing I could say to try to make this positive and proactive, I remember a 2-5 Dallas Cowboys team who said, this is not good enough, and we're going to go out and we're going to do something crazy. And they got Amari Cooper, and our Amari Cooper exploded. If you want to take another look around in the next 2 weeks, and the ignorant thing to do would be like, nah, let's just stay the course, let's fix this. This team's terrible. They're not fixing anything. They will lose the NFC East with this team. If you want to go shopping and you want to do something wild and look at Earl Thomas again, if you want to look at some players around the league who might be ripe for a trade, like Justin Simmons in Denver, who does not have a long-term deal, Jerry, write a check, because I don't think this is a thing about, well, let's have a players-only meeting and let's just work this. It's not there. If it was going to be there, it would have been already. And the worst part is, Rich, the defense thing that we've been kicking around for last month, defense came out against the Cardinals and held them to 3 punts in the first 3 possessions. Punt, punt, punt. Ezekiel Elliott, the $90 million running back, is fumbling all over the field. He's the reason they lost that game. So it's now spreading. And unless they do something dramatic, like a bold Amari Cooper-type new player on defense, I don't see it stopping.
And then we're talking about week 7, there are marquee matchups all over the place. The one that I'm looking forward to the most, and this is fact, and I just love the way they both play, and I love the way that both teams play, is Seattle and Arizona. I cannot wait for that one. And that's got the early, it's the late window, but it's got the 4:05 Eastern start. Then they're just going to go right away. I can't wait for that. That's going to be amazing.
Yeah, because it's Russ versus kind of mini Russ in what Kyler did, and everyone was so excited. He's gotten such little national exposure. If he slays the Dragon, which is the Seahawks, maybe the best team in the league, it's outstanding. I would look in the same afternoon window, Niners at Patriots. Mm-hmm. In which we are on the precipice of seeing a 2-4 Bill Belichick Patriots team, which is like end of time stuff. It's very strange. And then they may be a player at the deadline because their goose might be cooked. It's big time stakes here, big time. And because now, Rich, we're getting to we know who the good teams and bad teams are. It's not early, it's not late, but now you're getting the wild takes. I saw something. I follow Green Bay Packers beat writers on Twitter, and I love the content they churn out. They got people calling radio shows and writing in saying, we got to take a look at this Jordan Love now. It's time.
That's
get the
crazy.
Pads on him. Let's go.
Come on.
You got to be kidding me.
Come on.
This is week 7 in the NFL. Trade Sam Darnold, tank for Trevor, and get Jordan Love up.
Well, I agree with the first part. I absolutely think the Jets should tank for Trevor. There's no question about that. I mean, I don't think that's tinfoil hat on my front. I think that this kid is as dynamic as they come. The Jets have broken Sam Darnold. This coach is finished. I don't know why he's still around, unless they just say, we're punishing you by keeping you around. I have no idea what the hell the direction is, and I started this hour basically saying Jets need to fire Gase if the awfulness and the absolute dreadfulness it makes him look that much more clueless, where Trevor Lawrence might think, a little Thornton Mellon, do the triple Lindy and go and go back to school, is the way to go. If that's the case, then Gase should be out 5 minutes ago.
Trevor, we need you.
Yeah.
They do need him. They do need him, Rich. But here's the thing. You fire Gase, then who's to say you don't go and win 3 out of the next 6 games or something and end up and totally blow it and have the number 3 pick in the draft? Maybe you keep Gase to go full scorched earth to get it. Maybe Gase is the best thing they have going for him right now to get Trevor Lawrence.
I know.
And then you can him.
That's what I was thinking about, but at any rate, there's still a whole bunch of time left between now and then. Let's talk about your pod, because my next my celebrity guest in hour 3 is your guest for your pod this week.
Oh, nice.
A little bit of overlap. This is kind of like a, if you will, a multi-platform Venn diagram, which is a great, I think, fantasy name, Chris. Patton Oswalt is your, what do you got for me here for Patton? What'd you talk about?
Incredible guest, or I call it contestant, on the show. 25 years of experience in Hollywood. He, in doing the research, he was in a very memorable episode of Seinfeld. It was one of his first breaks ever, where he played a video clerk, and George Costanza is trying to rent Breakfast at Tiffany's so he doesn't have to read the book for the book club that he's in, and the guy won't do it. And he has great stories, Patton does, about Jason Alexander just messing with him and trying to screw him up before he started his line and try to loosen him up. Amazing guy who is game for anything And I didn't know a ton about him as recently as a month ago. I've learned everything. I mean, he's the voice of Ratatouille, which, Rich, as you know, as a Pixar huge. Household, makes him royalty.
It does. So you play the old 10 questions with him, and he's got a virtual comedy performance that's coming up, so I'll be talking about that with him in the next hour. Ask the poll question of Kyle Brandt as we go out the door. Go for it.
Kyle, as I'm sure you're aware, it's the 37th anniversary of the release of All the Right Moves today.
Oh, yeah.
So we are going best 80s cruise movie. All the Right Moves not on the list, but these four are Risky Business, Top Gun, Cocktail, Rain Man.
Oh, man, that's tough. All right, which delicious flavor do I want to have from those? It's tough to take down Top Gun. I mean, it's even if you gave me 4 minutes of footage of the volleyball scene with Kenny Loggins, or even the date at Kelly McGillis's, or Maverick inexplicably sidearm throwing the dog tags off the deck carrier, I think I have to go with Top Gun. Although I have to say something very strange, a tangent off that.
Yes.
Rich, you and I talked a couple weeks ago. I had Tim Robbins on 10 Questions.
Yes.
And, of course, Tim Robbins played Merlin, who gets a real raw deal. He's Cougar's co-pilot, and then he's Maverick. They're both head cases. And I just wanted to reminisce about Top Gun, and he kind of played along, and then he said, you know, actually, I don't really like that movie. You don't like Top Gun? No, I think it's jingoistic, and it was paid for with tax dollars, so I'm not really a fan.
Wow.
That's a take. That is a take. And he stood by, and he did not want anything to do with Top Gun 2, so you will not see Merlin in the sequel.
You will not see that.
No.
Okay, so Kyle has flown into the danger zone. Where does that rank right now, Kyle? Chris?
Oh, Top Gun is just running
away with
65%
it?
65% Top Gun.
So let's pound the table for like Risky Business. Too old? That's almost the 70s movie. That's how old that movie is.
Yeah, it's very... Tom Cruise looks like he's in about eighth grade in it, which plays right in it. Shot in the north suburbs of Chicago, about 5 minutes from the Bears headquarters. In the air tonight, Phil Collins really put that on the map. So it's a great movie. But listen, you could open it up to all Tom Cruise movies, and it's tough to take down Top Gun and Pete Mitchell. I mean, you could throw Jerry Maguire at him, anything you want. Top Gun may still take that thing, requesting a flyby, negative Ghost Rider, the pattern's full.
By the way, Depeche Mode, also a great band
from
Risky Business as well. That's if you want to go,
old-time rock and roll.
If you want to go, that's Bob Seger, too. I mean,
with him dancing?
I don't know if Seger and Depeche Mode and the sultry Becky De Mornay does it for the young demo, but
Becky.
It definitely does it for me. I don't care.
I know that. Becky De Mornay. And by the way, also, let's go down this wormhole. Let's do it.
Okay.
The guy who sold all of Joel his stolen goods back off the back of the truck, Joey Pants, Joe Pantoliano.
Oh.
Who is, Midnight
great,
Run fame, one of the all-time
guy.
Great. Exactly. Yeah. Also,
he in the fugitive. Role of Guido the Killer Pimp.
Yes.
Joey Pants. And Curtis Armstrong, known as Booger in the Revenge of the Nerds world, has that great line, I've got a trig midterm tomorrow. I'm getting chased by Guido the Killer Pimp. Great movie.
It is. Let's pound the table. And so, last one for you, too, is that we had Rob Lowe on our show a couple years ago, a couple times ago when he was on. He said when we asked him about, knowing Cruise and growing up with Tom Cruise, not just, as a movie actor, but also here in Southern California, literally, he said that he learned from Tom Cruise that to sound really cool, Cruise only refers to his movies with one word.
Oh, my gosh.
In the title. So I guess it would be. He said that, as a matter of fact, he referred to All the Right Moves as Moves. When I was on the set of Moves. So, I guess, what would it be?
Wow.
Would it be Risky or Business?
Business, probably.
Would it be, right?
I think.
Yeah. I think it'd be Business.
Right?
Just wonder, how far does it go? Does he say, I remember I was working with Bobby Duvall on the set of Thunder, and it was just a hell of a shoot.
Right.
I mean,
that's what... No,
Gun?
I think, didn't he say it was Days? He said it was Days.
Yeah. Days.
That's what he used. It was Days.
Because he did Tropic Thunder, too, so we
can't do right.
Yeah,
so
we can't have double thunder.
That might be Tropic, though. Yeah. So you could really go down a wormhole, no doubt about it. I think it was Gun. When he was on that mission, okay, is it that one as well? We just need to leave it there with Cocktail.
Yes.
Okay, we need to just, that's what we're getting to use a phrase that all the CNN anchors use. We've got to leave it there.
Gotta leave it there.
You gotta leave it there.
But, man, this makes me want to go see Vanilla and maybe his great scene with Jack Nicholson and Men.
Yes.
And he keeps going.
It does.
Thunder, Collateral, I guess that's one word. That, these are great. I love this about
Chris. Oh, it's a great game,
life.
Kyle. It's a great game.
It's fun.
It's fun to play. Fun. 10 Questions with Kyle Brandt, the latest pod with Patton Oswalt is where all pods can be gotten on Spotify and The Ringer. Thanks for the call. You take care of yourself, brother. We'll chat next week.
Always. Thanks, Rich.
Always a pleasure. What with Kyle you? Brandt. The delightful Kyle Brandt. Gosh, man. I mean, you just go. We could just keep going. It's Jerry, right? Or is it McGuire? Is it McGuire?
Oh, I feel like it's a last name situation.
And by the way, Jerry McGuire, it's very, you know, very rare it doesn't come up when the Cowboys and Cardinals play each other on a Monday night, but that was basically it.
Yep. Yeah. But that game was in Arizona, obviously.
I got to ask. Sunday. Irv was there that night, I think. Irv and Dion were on the was on that Cowboys
team. They were
team.
On the team.
The old Sun Devil. Sun Devil. What's Cruz do with all the Mission Impossibles, though? Because there's like nine of them.
Mission one, mission two.
I bet he says, just.
Well, they all have their names, too. Like, there's Ghost Protocol and Rogue Nation.
So yeah, he wouldn't go when I was on Protocol.
No.
Would he go Rogue?
When I was on the set of four, five, I think he just does the number.
Just numbers them?
Yeah, just the number.
Yeah. 8.4.
Minority Report?
When I was on Report. Oh, Report. Come on. Chris, come on, man.
Eyes Shut?
Oh, it's not when I was on Shut.
Oh, great movie.
Fidelio. 844-204-RICH when we come back.
Hey, folks. Now there's more ways to be a team with Microsoft Teams. You can bring everyone together in one space with a new virtual room. Collaborate live, drawing, sharing, building ideas with everyone on the same page. And you can make sure more of your team is seen and heard with up to 49 people on screen at once. Learn more all about the newest Teams features at Microsoft.com/Teams.
844-204-RICH is the number to dial. We'll wait for our radio audience to return in about less than 60 seconds, and we'll start taking some phone calls at 844-204-RICH, number to dial. Kelsey and Patton will be joining us in hour number three.
Nice.
Do you like it?
I forgot he was the voice of Ratatouille. That's one of my favorite movies.
Let me see. I've got, as always, our
crack
staff provides me with a whole
stuff
list.
Food.
Ratatouille.
And a cute mouse.
Oh, he's the narrator of the Goldbergs as well. That's not a bad gig, is to be a narrator.
Yeah.
Oh, he and I have something in common. We were both in 22 Jump Street.
Wow.
Yep. How about that?
We hear your voice.
Huh?
We only hear your voice in 22
Jump Street. Yeah, right. I'm not on camera.
Right.
That's right. What does that matter?
Yeah.
No, I was just clarifying.
I still get the residual check. As a matter of fact, I got something for like $2.05 the other day.
Hey.
What happened to residuals?
Well, I mean, we used to do it on. We could shoot it.
Yeah, we should do it.
We could shoot it.
We could shoot some.
Off hour.
Hey, everybody. Now there's more ways to be a team with Microsoft Teams. Bring everyone together in a new virtual room, collaborate live, building ideas on the same page, and you get to see more of your team on screen at once. Learn more at Microsoft.com/Teams.
Back here on our radio network, we could shoot our residual segment off hour and then run it on Peacock. That's not a problem. Oh, by the way, I've got 8 residual checks just unopened already.
Oh, I mean,
yeah.
We like picking it.
Those are cups of coffee you're missing out on.
Yeah. I know that. Let's go to the phone lines right here. Chris in Georgia, you're on the Rich Eisen Show. What's up, Chris?
Hey, Rich, first off, I don't think you have to worry about your Jets accidentally winning games like you said earlier because they stink, and as like you people up north like to add, on ice.
Yes, that happens. Right, I know.
They're firmly in the driver's seat for the Trevor Lawrence sweepstakes, and one argument I've been hearing, and you brought it up, is that Trevor Lawrence might stay for his senior campaign, which I'm a big advocate against. I think he should go get his money. However, I was thinking about this. If money is the only reason to go to the Jets, which, let's be honest, that may be the only reason to go to the Jets, and not to throw a wet blanket on the situation, the new player likeness payment rule comes into effect in the NCAA in 2021, which by my count is next season.
No, I hear you, but I don't think... You can't compare whatever the hell he might be able to garner, selling used cars for somebody on Clemson or whatever he might be able to do, like an Aflac spot, where that Nick Saban's allowed to do. you can't compare it, you know, and I appreciate the call. Let me just quickly just say one more time here. I mean, the Jets, you know, you could say, oh, we have our fun when we want about tanking. Jamison Crowder and that kid Perriman are two good wide receivers in the NFL. This kid Mims, who they drafted, comes back and is healthy. Those are three wideouts that I wouldn't mind throwing to in the NFL. You could put those three guys up with some other team's three guys. I mean, not like the best three in the business, but that can get you some first downs and can win you a game. Even against the Bills in week one. Remember, Jamison Crowder ran away from the Bills' defense. That was a touchdown that came out of nowhere that put the Jets within two scores. And as you know, that's the margin of difference that they usually lose by. They could easily win games. And this kid, LaMichael Piron, I know what I would say. This kid Piron from Florida, he's going to want to show out. Frank Gore is pissed at the world. There's enough professionals on that team to pull off a win or two. And Trevor Lawrence, if he says, no, I'd rather stay and take my chances with the name and likeness rules and make my money there and hope I don't have my hip broken like Tua or my leg broken like Dak against Syracuse. How silly. Just because I'm afraid of being broken by the Jets, that is a concern. But I'll tell you what, the Jets are going to blow this guy out. And they've got draft choices, and they've got enough guys there to build around, and he's going to go walk into New York City where he could basically run for mayor and probably win, certainly against de Blasio.
He probably would win.
Nate in Colorado, you're on the Rich Eisen Show. What's up, Nate? You there, Nate?
Yes, sir, I am.
What you got on your mind, Nate?
Well, you know, I don't get to call in very often because I'm usually at work, but I'm home with the sixth child today, which, bless
him. I hope your child is okay.
Oh, he's doing well.
Okay, good.
He's a little too wound up. Should have gone to school, but...
Okay.
Hey, hearing Captain Dantastic and you on Monday, and then you continuing with your natural today.
Yes.
I can't believe Del Tufo has never come up with the perfect nickname for you.
Okay, what is that?
All right. You ready, Del Tufo? Here's going to be your new drop.
Go ahead.
And now, at 10 a.m. Mountain, it's the ritual.
Oh. That gives you a golf clap. We're going to give you a golf clap. We're going to give you a golf clap.
Hey, I appreciate that.
The ritual. Well, you could say it's a ritual to watch us every day.
It is.
How about that?
I like
that.
Right in the middle of the Florio Flotta.
That's right.
That's it. I love it,
man. Nate and I, we're punching up each other's copy right now. I appreciate that. And I hope your kid feels better.
He'll be fine. Excellent. You guys have a great
thanks
day.
Thanks for calling.
Right, well, brother.
I like that. The ritual.
It's a ritual. By the way, I like the fact that he's telling Del Tufo to get ready for the drop. That shows that he's an avid consumer.
He's watching. He knows.
Right? Florio Flauta.
Yep.
He knows what Captain Dantastic. Is that what Pat Dan's using for?
I guess so.
Okay.
He's consuming ritual. All 6 hours.
By the way, I didn't get somehow, some way.
I didn't record the drop.
What?
I get rich on that one. Did you get that drop?
Oh, but you nailed Dr. Jones with his old rubber glove. You're on that one, aren't you?
Who does it?
So Dr. Jones with my rubber glove is going to make sure every one of you are safe.
That's for the Dallas fans out there. He's taking care of
things. By the way, how about some of the shots that ESPN had of some of those fans on Monday night? We haven't hit on that. Some of them have been made for memes already. With like the
dude sitting there, his girlfriend,
and just basically like making sure he's okay. Yeah,
that was me on my couch, except there was no one sitting with me. It was just me. I was alone.
There was one that I was going to actually rewind my television and shoot, you know, with my phone. But my two kids were three kids were there, and I didn't want to teach them this is what you should do with your time. But there was like one Cowboy fan just bummed. Mask around chin, sipping on what looked like some sort of...
Was it red?
Red, like Daiquirito or something like that.
I saw that.
And I thought that there's no concessions open in that building. Does that mean you have to bring your own, like, blended drink?
Like, I don't know, but I
he just took like
that.
A sad wow. sip.
A sad sip of a
sad
red
sip.
Drink.
Yes,
I saw that.
You had the same reaction. I almost like, I got to take that. Like
what's that was me sipping iced tea sitting on the couch.
A just sad like, daiquirita sip.
Yeah.
It was really lonely, and I felt for that. He was just like, you know what?
I didn't feel
he's got like 3 minutes to go. You know he's probably just going to leave it there for somebody else to clean up.
Just threw it down.
And just like one little tug on
well, they had
the
like
drink.
15,000 friends that they could commiserate with. Me, no. I was alone in my crib and reading you guys' text messages. Okay, I didn't have that.
Well, hour three is our boy Kelsey, and then Travis Kelsey of the Chiefs, Patton Oswalt. Chris Brockman with a news update with Mike McCarthy talking about the unnamed Cowboys slagging on him.